Hey everybody, welcome back to Echo Base. This is the first Echo Base of 2017. I am Eric. I'm here with Lou. Lou, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
All right. And Chris? Chris, how you doing?
I'm cold.
You're cold?
Yes.
Well, yeah, it is kind of cold. Of course, you are the most southerly located of the three of us, so I don't want to hear it.
It is winter on Hoth.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's winter on Hoth and here, too, so...
And, you know, our hearts are a little cold, too. You know, we took a break for the hiatus for the Christmas vacation. We always go on hiatus for the holidays just because there's travel, people with families and stuff like that. And even if one of us might be available, it doesn't mean the other two of us are. So normally we take at least a week, if not 2 weeks off, right around the holiday time at the end of the year. And then we're always excited to come back in the first week of the following year. And yet... It's really, really sad this time around. Not only are we not going to be able to continue our coverage of Rogue One this week, before we had promised that we're going to have guests on and we're going to get different perspectives on the film and talk about some of the different things in a little more detail. And we are, in fact, we've got some of our network co-hosts coming on to join us next week. And we're going to have some other guests from outside the network lined up. But We have something that happened over the break. As everybody knows, Carrie Fisher has passed away. And, you know, we debated whether or not to talk about it during the holidays. We decided to wait until it came back. And, of course, most people in the Star Wars community have already expressed their feelings on it. And then there are some logistical concerns moving forward with the films, but... I thought maybe we'd take just a few moments and kind of talk about what happened and how we feel about it and things like that. We first heard about it. She was on a flight. She obviously had a heart attack on the flight. They tried to, there was an EMT on the plane who performed CPR, and then they took her to the hospital. We heard shortly thereafter that she was in stable condition. And it was interesting because that, like, the internet kind of blew up around that point. It's like, it's stable, so she's okay. It's stable, but she's still going to die. Like, nobody knew what to think about the actual information coming out. We had a lot of discussion about this in the Slack channel. Stable, basically what it means is you're no longer actively circling the drain. Circling the drain, not an official medical term, but it is actually something that's often used as slang in emergency rooms. I know this from experience, but you're no longer actively in an acute state of a life-threatening situation. You're not actively having a heart attack. You're not actively having a stroke. You're not actively desatting. You know, you are stable so that then they can proceed with diagnosis and telemetry and monitoring and things like that. So she did get to a point where she was stable, but, you know, it could be days before someone recovers from that. And, of course, then a few days later, we find out that she was not to recover. And then, right after that, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, to whom she was really close, passed away, apparently from a stroke. And Debbie Reynolds apparently at the end expressed her desire to, quote, be with Carrie. And then she was gone. So the funeral is tomorrow. We're recording this Thursday, January 5th. The funeral will be Friday, January 6th. There have been all sorts of tributes all over the internet at Disney theme parks, in video games, in Star Wars The Old Republic on Corellia. They had a place you could go to, you know, pay your respects and things like that. There were all kinds of different online things going on. In fact, there are some Elite Dangerous, I think, is creating a space station in Carrie Fisher's honor. And there are a lot of online game communities that were doing things as well. HBO re-released her Wishful Drinking stage show. I don't know if have you guys seen that?
No.
Okay. It's really good. I watched it last night for the first time. And it's really good, and it's especially moving at the end. She talks about she has a moment at the end where she kind of reflects back on her life and has a couple of lines that are particularly poignant right now. I don't want to quote them. Maybe later I'll throw in an audio clip or something at the end of the show, but it's definitely worth checking out if you know someone who has HBO, if you can access the HBO Go app, something like that. Then on the 7th, there's a documentary that was being worked on covering Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. They lived right next door to each other. And they were very close. And this documentary kind of covers their relationship. And it was ready to be released, apparently, prior to their deaths. And so now that it's being released, it comes out this Saturday on January 7th, also on HBO. So we're looking forward to that. But, talk a little bit. This happened over the holidays, which is normally a happy time. I know that for myself, even though, you know, we don't talk about celebrity deaths on the network, we talk about the fact that we don't talk about celebrity deaths on the Random Chatter Network because you're kind of opening a can of worms. And 2016 was especially rough. We had more celebrity deaths than we had in at least the last 10 years. And many of them very prominent, but of course for Star Wars fans, Carrie Fisher, you know, what are you guys thinking or feeling?
Honestly, it's kind of difficult to really put into proper words. It's been a week and a half or a week.
Yeah. Some time has passed.
A little over a week now since this. Obviously we're not the first, you know, people to talk about this, and I'm sure right. All three of us in some way or another have expressed our feelings, you know, on Twitter or, you know, with each other or something like that. But it's a shame, really. I mean, what, she was 60, right?
Yes.
And that's old, but it's not like, you know, knocking on death's door constantly.
Right.
And you know, we saw her come back from you always hear about her mental health issues, which is something she fought for most of her life, is more mental health awareness. Mm-hmm. She had her weight loss, which people love to talk about. She comes back and is in The Force Awakens after being away from Star Wars for how many years and just knocks it out of the park. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I really liked her performance in The Force Awakens. And I'm still excited to see, you know, what she does or what she did for Episode 8. Because, you know, we know that they finished filming for that. So, you know, as far as we know, that her death is not going to affect Episode 8, at least in terms of, you know, not having scenes filmed.
Right.
But I think that, you know, I'm the type of person that when somebody, be it a celebrity I like or even a family member, passes away, rather than grieve about it and, you know, cry and mourn, I kind of like to look at the good things that they did mm-hmm. for either myself or just, you know, in general. Or maybe the struggles that they overcame. And honestly, I think of the primary original trilogy Star Wars actors, I think Carrie Fisher got some of the worst of it.
Yeah.
At least, post Return of the Jedi coming out. I think that it was an unnecessary bad rap. And, you know, I remember when they announced Episode 7 was coming out, a lot of people like looked at Carrie Fisher and was like, really? you're going to bring her back. And, you know, I think it's nice that she was able to not only do that for the Star Wars fans, but she was always a positive role model in, you know, in other ways, like I said, with the whole mental health thing.
Yes, very much so.
And I unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people are talking about that. I think it's more about, you know, Princess Leia, and which, you know, obviously we're Star Wars fans. We're going to talk about that. But I think that, you know, you should celebrate the life of someone for everything they did, not just, you know, a portrayal in a movie we all right. like.
I want to come back to that in just a minute, but Lou, I want to give you a chance here too before I go off on something.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things that Chris said, I kind of feel the same way about. I mean, I don't really dwell on celebrities passing that much. It's not somebody who was close to me personally, so it's hard for me to be, you know, really emotionally invested in something like that. But I think what really kind of hit me the most about this was, you know, her mother passing within a day or so, and it was just it felt creepy, maybe, I guess, almost. It just felt very, I don't know, I was very emotional over that. Just that, almost like her mother died of a broken heart, or just, you know, it just felt really impactful to me, I guess, of that part of it. But, I mean, I look back and I want to celebrate, you know, her life and what she's done and the role she was in. And, you know, the two things I, you know, love seeing her in was, you know, the Star Wars stuff, of course, that we all watch, and When Harry Met Sally. I loved her role in that movie.
Yeah. So Chris, going back to what you said, I agree with you that it's important to celebrate a person's life. I mean, we're all going to die someday. And
what?
Yeah. I don't know if you got the briefing on that or not, Lou. So it makes you a little bit philosophical, because you look back and you think about the fact that really your life is worth the effect you had on the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie had a big effect on people. And a sure lot did. Of it, you know, you have to remember that she was more than just Princess Leia. But then you also have to take into consideration Princess Leia was important. Like, her portrayal of Leia is a good thing and something to celebrate as well. And I know that she had kind of a love-hate relationship being the actress who portrayed Princess Leia, because it kind of defined the rest of her career when it shouldn't have. And yet it also opened up a lot of opportunities for her in a lot of things. Nobody would have cared about her struggles with mental illness, and she would not have been able to use her struggles to bring awareness to mm-hmm. mental illness mm-hmm. issues if she had not had the popularity she had as Princess Leia. So in that regard, Princess Leia was a benefit to her outside of that role. But then also, I understand you get kind of stuck in that one thing that people see you as, and you can't move out of it. It's kind of like the Spock thing with Leonard Nimoy, except on top of all that, then Carrie Fisher is a woman who, you know, that brings a whole nother set of issues into it. She talks in her stage show, Wishful Drinking, about this. I don't want to give away too much of that show so that you won't enjoy it when you go see it, but there are things she talks about, not just the whole no underwear in space thing. But, you know, guys coming up and talking to her about, trying not to be too graphic here, about how she was the first woman that they ever lusted after as an adolescent. And she's like, what do I say to that? Thank you? I guess? I mean, it's kind of gross. And also, you know, she's in a metal bikini in Return of the Jedi, and people lock that in as their mental image of her for decades. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden they see her in episode 7, and it's like, she doesn't look like she's 20 something in a bikini anymore. Well, yeah, who does? Nobody at her age does, because that's how the human body progresses. But there were certain stereotypes for her as a woman that, ironically, she was one of the actresses in Hollywood whose characters broke a lot of those stereotypes more so than other characters, decades before we started getting powerful women in other roles. And yet she still suffered from a lot of that stereotyping for most of her career.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it's important to remember what a powerful character Leia was in fiction. We see a lot more now of female characters in more prominent roles and more powerful roles. Even with Star Wars, we've got Rey, we've got Jyn. But back in the 70s and the 80s, it was always the damsel in distress. And when you think about it, as soon as she got out of that prison cell, she took charge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was it. She was in command. And if you didn't like it, get out of her way. And that's not an insight I had. I mean, this is all of this stuff is going all over Twitter. She's the only character who in A New Hope who wasn't defined by the mistakes of her past.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many ways in which Leia was such a powerful character, and Carrie's portrayal of Leia was really powerful, but also her portrayal as a person within Hollywood. She called people out when they were being stupid. She called people out when they were being dishonest. She was, whether you like it or not, and whether you wanted to hear what she had to say or not, she called it like it was, very publicly so. And I have a lot of respect for that. We've talked a lot before on Random Chatter about celebrities and how they act in the real world. And to me, Carrie Fisher is one of those people who I will always have a great amount of respect for who she was as a person, regardless of what roles she was in. Just because she had a sense of integrity that you don't often see in anybody, celebrity or otherwise. And I really respect that about her. And she also, a lot of people don't know this, though fortunately this is starting to finally come out more, but she was one of the most popular script doctors in Hollywood for ages. There's a handful of maybe 10 films floating around that people are naming at the moment, but there were actually many more than that, that she would go and fix the dialogue in a lot of these films, which was ironic because she had some of the worst dialogue of any popular film in history. But she gained a reputation for being very, very good at that. And so another way in which Carrie Fisher affected our entertainment that a lot of us didn't necessarily know about. So I didn't really say a whole lot when it happened. I eventually tweeted that I was grateful not only for the joy that she brought us as Princess Leia in or in her roles in fiction in general, but also for the attention that she brought to those suffering from mental illness. I can relate to that on a personal level. I have family members also. And I really appreciated that, but I kind of kept silent. I guess I just didn't, you know, people react to things in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everybody listening out there, however you are reacting to it, however you did react to it, that's fine. If you didn't cry, if you didn't get emotionally moved, that's okay. Don't feel guilty about it. You didn't know Carrie as a person. Maybe you only knew her as an actress portraying a role, and that's okay. Don't pretend to feel something you don't. Other people who have interacted with Carrie, who maybe have been following more of her personal life, they might feel more impacted by that, and that's okay. And if you're still grieving about it, that's fine too. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say about the feelings and the grief surrounding her passing. There are some logistical things now that we're going to get into because they're newsworthy. And that's kind of what we do here at Echo Base, is we comment on the news. So we are kind of obligated to talk about this other stuff. I want to make sure that it's clear that we're moving on to these other topics, because that's part of our coverage. We're not, you know, it's not like, oh, well, yeah, she's dead. So anyway, you know, we're not being cold or callous about it. We're going to move on to things that we can contribute to larger discussion about the forward momentum of Star Wars. If anybody wants to talk to us about Carrie or her life or any of, you know, your experiences that you might have had with Carrie, we want to hear about it. Absolutely. We will continue this conversation off the air as much as you want to. Hit us up in the Slack channel if you're one of our Patreon donors. Hit us up in Twitter. send us emails, echobase@randomchatter.com. You know, whatever you want to do, I'll talk for hours about Carrie. So a few things. I remember when episode 3 came out. I liked episode 3, but one of the things I didn't like about it was the whole Padme dying of a broken heart. And it seemed so sappy and overly romantic and nonsensical. Since then, I've actually gone to school for not proper medical school, as in to become a doctor, but to become a PA. You know, I've taken various medical courses and learned that it actually is a thing. And so I wanted to publicly, since I publicly complained about it years ago, I want to publicly say I'm retracting what I said. I was wrong. I was flat out wrong. It is actually a physiological thing for someone to die, quote, of a broken heart. Now, what happens basically is stress causes hormonal reactions within the body, adrenaline rushes, things like that. Has all kinds of different physiological effects. It affects your gastrointestinal system. It affects your cardiac system. So you can actually have a heart attack or have a stroke as a result of grief over the passing of a loved one. That is exactly what appears to have happened to Debbie Reynolds. So in the same way that Leia's mother in Star Wars died of a broken heart, Carrie Fisher's mother in real life died of a broken heart. One involving Carrie Fisher's character's birth, the other, Carrie Fisher's actual death. So, if you don't understand how that works, you can look it up online. There's information about it. I'm not going to get into all the medical stuff here, but just wanted to point that out. So, we talked about... I want to say, going back to the chat room, I'm sorry, I'm kind of half ignoring it here. I think Carrie pointed out in the chat room earlier that Wishful Drinking is available on Amazon. It's also available on DVD if you want to pick it up. Definitely worth checking out. I never got to see any of her shows at any of the conventions. I was an idiot. I always said, you know what? I've got so much going on with convention coverage. I'll get to it later.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always talked about how awesome it was. Every single time you went to see Carrie do a show at a convention, it was a different experience every time. All due respect to Anthony Daniels and to James Arnold Taylor, who I hear has just a phenomenal show. But it's basically the same presentation each time, whereas Carrie Fisher, apparently, from what I'm told, very different every time you went to see her. And
you should go back and watch the one from Celebration Anaheim. I didn't go to that one personally, but I watched it because, you know, they streamed it online afterwards.
Is it available still?
I don't think it would have been taken down. Okay. I'm sure it's still there.
I'll have to check that out.
But yeah, it was on, I think, the Star Wars YouTube or something. But Okay. Yeah, it's a really interesting panel, to say the least.
Carrie is always interesting when she talks because, again, she doesn't pull any punches.
Right.
She's very honest. So, all right. So moving forward, you talked, Chris, about the fact that she's already done filming for episode 8. Now, it's possible they might change something in episode 8, but what they had intended to do with episode 8, she's done with. They have not started filming for episode 9 yet. They're filming Han Solo in early 2017, so presumably episode 9 would start filming either late this year or early next year. So, the question now becomes, what happens to Leia in the sagas? And we have three different options. And then we have the issue of what the content would be. So option number one is they recast her. Number two, they do the digital thing like they did with Rogue One. And number three is they just write her out of the story. Now, let's recasting her. Can we all agree that's just not going to work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. There's no way they can make that work.
Right. We'll entertain that argument if somebody wants to send us some sort of proposal on how it could work, but I don't see it working. The fans wouldn't accept it. The mainstream, I don't think, would accept it very well. And I don't think any actress in her right mind would accept the role, no matter how much
it's also
money.
Too soon, too. I mean, if this was
10 years
from now, they wanted to redo part of it or something. Yeah, okay, maybe. But not this soon after her passing.
Yeah. I've yet to hear anybody who thinks that that's a good idea. So then we've got two other options. And we're going to kind of talk about them simultaneously here. I want to say something. I don't consider it a spoiler. It is the equivalent of saying something about the original trilogy, like after watching Empire Strikes Back and they're starting to do press for Return of the Jedi. It would be the equivalent of saying, I heard a rumor that Luke Skywalker is going to confront Vader again. Well, obviously he's going to confront Vader. That's kind of like he has to confront Vader in the third movie.
You know, they could have just ignored each other. They could have, you know, you do your thing, I'll do mine. We're gonna,
I guess they could have.
It wouldn't have been as dramatic, but yeah.
Well, right. So there recently was some information. I think this came from Hollywood Reporter. It's not a spoiler because it's not confirmed. And in my opinion, it is so ridiculously generic. And anybody is already assuming this. Okay? So we're not going to not say it. Rumor has it that there are two pivotal scenes left for Leia in the trilogy. One is where she reunites with Luke, which, you know, big surprise. Luke is probably going to come back into the fold and they will see each other and blah, blah, blah. And the other one, again, very easy to predict, is that she will be reunited in some way, shape, or form with Kylo Ren. And again, well, duh. I mean, especially now that after he killed Han, there kind of has to be some kind of resolution there to come full circle between him and his mother.
Mm.
Okay, again, I don't consider those spoilers. But if we go with the premise that that's actually got to happen, then some of that could happen in episode 8 and some in 9, or all of it in 8 or all of it in 9. We don't know yet. But if there's still some of that to resolve in episode 9, then we have a problem. Writing her out of the story changes the nature of the story if there's still some of that left, especially, I think, with Kylo Ren. You could handle it differently, but I think it would be really tricky to do. Maybe she dies and Kylo then gets upset because he never got to reconcile with her or something, but then he didn't. Because he kind of did, in a way, reconcile with Han in his mind, sort of. Like, there was that moment where it's like, it's too hard for me to kill you, will you help me? And Han's not getting the to kill you part of it, and he's just getting the help me part. And Han's like, yeah, sure. So there's kind of some conflict still there. But...
Well, I think... I think the problem is if they rewrite the script or change the where the story is going for episode 9, it's going to feel awkward.
Right.
I mean, because you know, if they had a plan for what 8 and 9 were going to be, and now they can't do it in 9 because of her passing, anything you do is going to feel not right. Even though we don't know what it was they were planning, I mean, it would take a really skilled writer and really somebody who can really do that. I just don't see them pulling that off and having us as fans be satisfied with what they come up with.
Well, and the other thing, too, is not just how do you pull off the parts of the story she'd be missing from. How do you pull off her actual death? Having a major character like that die off screen between films.
Yeah, that'd be horrible too, right?
So you've either got to use CG to have her die in episode 8, which now you're changing how episode 8 is. And it's such a dramatic moment that it's not a minor thing. I mean, it's a major story plot to have. I mean, look at Han Solo dying.
Yeah.
That wasn't him, you know, walking off into the sunset and a blaster bolt hits him from out of nowhere. I mean, it was a pivotal point of the film. And if Leia dies, it would be the same thing. So... There's an element of how do you cover the death that way. She's also, at the moment, the leader of the resistance. So now, not only are you killing off a character, but now you have a power vacuum in an organization that already has some political squabbling. If you look at the Bloodlines novel, and the hints right. are that that squabbling will continue throughout the rest of the film saga as well. So you're affecting another major plot point. It's so, like, on the surface, it doesn't seem like it's that intricate, but it really is. So then you use CG. Now, when you look at some of the interviews that are coming out now about Rogue One, and it's kind of weird how all of this ties together. We have the bringing back of Peter Cushing as right. Grand Moff Tarkin. And ironically, we have the bringing back of Carrie Fisher, a younger looking Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. And everybody seems more upset, even prior to Carrie's passing, about the Leia than the Tarkin. I thought the Leia worked fine. I went back and saw the movie again over Christmas break, and I paid close attention to it. And I'm like, yeah, I really have no problem with the quality of the CG work on the Leia. There was something more off about Tarkin to me than there was Leia. But this is now separately a topic in the film industry in general, and now the two topics have blended because of Carrie's passing. You could do this to bring Princess Leia back. What I was saying, though, with Rogue One, they brought back Grand Moff Tarkin because he was integral to the plot. You can't really have the Death Star, and especially leading right up to the moments of A New Hope, without involving Tarkin somehow.
Yeah.
You have to have Tarkin in there. You didn't have to have Princess Leia necessarily, though it makes sense, the whole transition onto the Tantive IV. Pablo Hidalgo has now officially corrected all of us. Tantive actually, you know, I had this in show notes somewhere too. It's an actual word. If you look it up, it means to gallop or something like that. And the Tantive IV is a blockade runner, and it's designed to speed through blockades. And so I guess the galloping analogy works, but just it's weird saying Tantive IV, especially after like 40 years of saying it the other way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the seamless blend into A New Hope, it makes sense for Carrie to be there. But we saw with Tarkin, it mattered, and they did it, and now they might need to do that again for Episode 9. Now, some people are just like, they feel like it's irreverent to do that at all. I don't know what level of awareness Carrie had about it being done in Rogue One or what her thoughts were on it. And I don't think that's been revealed anywhere yet. But someone in the chat room, who's logged on as the Retro Convo account? Is that Ernie? Said, I can see them starting Episode 9 with her funeral, but what the story would be, I don't know. That's very possible. In a funeral setting, they could really do it up, and it could be a big production, and that could maybe give us kind of that cathartic, emotional moment, I guess.
See, I mean, when it comes to her death, if they have to do it, I hope that it's not something that they show, and by that, they showed Han actually getting stabbed and then falling off the platform, and then obviously he died. But like Tarkin, for example, in A New Hope, right. He's on the Death Star when it blows up, so obviously he died. It's not his death isn't actually shown on the screen. It's just obviously an implied thing,
right?
If they have to do that with Leia, I hope that that's how it is.
I agree. I think it makes sense to have like her die off screen.
Imagine, or let's just say Kylo Ren would kill Leia, which I think would be dumb because why? Killing both of your parents would just be, you know, it's like a rehash of the same plot. Imagine Adam Driver, and you see him, and he like stabs, you know, Leia or whatever, and then you like have to see the shock on her face, obviously, and you know it's not a real person.
Mm-hmm.
That just it seems right.
Yeah, see, I'd be worried that wouldn't work well. I mean, you know, there's so much emotion in a scene like that, and how, you know, would they be able to pull that off in CG? And I don't think they could. One thing they could do, and I think it would feel like a cheat to the fans, but they could do something like, you know, beginning of episode 9, or ships out of hyperspace and just explodes, you know, malfunction type thing. It would feel like a cheat because, you know, they're purposely doing it because she's not around to do scenes, so let's write her out this way. You wouldn't have the CG aspect of it, but I think it would feel like it was a cheat.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a good solution here.
No, not at all.
I hope that whatever they do, they make it make sense, and we're not all in the back of our minds, they just did this because she died.
Right. Yeah. Chris hit right in the head. That's my fear, that whatever they write, we're going to feel, oh yeah, they did this just, that's what, you know, it's going to feel, I keep wanting to say forced, but I don't want to say forced, mm-hmm. you know, but it's going to feel like they shoehorned it in there because she died. And obviously we know that's why they're doing it, but I don't want it to feel that way.
Well,
I want it to feel more natural.
It might be hard to figure out the right thing to do, but I think we can eliminate some wrong things to do. We already said recasting really appears to be the wrong solution here. So there's that. Chris, I didn't even really think about this, but I emphatically agree with you. I don't want to actually witness her death on screen. It needs to be a Tarkin thing. It needs to be she's on a ship that blows up, or all the people in Hosnian Prime. It needs to be something like that. It cannot be mm-hmm. a close-up Han Solo death, or an Obi-Wan Kenobi death, or anything like that. So that would be another bad thing to do. And I think modifying the story too much, I think it's not what Carrie would want, and I don't think it benefits anybody. I understand everybody wants closure. I want closure as well. But I think that it would be better for them to try to maintain as much of the story as possible. And if that means bringing in CG work to do it, yeah, it's not ideal. The ideal solution would be for us to still have Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
But lacking that, we would get the story, we would get a representation of her character on screen and as much of a continuation of her work as possible. I mean, she signed on to these movies. She approved these movies. And this was something that she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like to zoom out a little bit, regardless of what the actual methodology would be that she would have preferred, I think that generally speaking, she would have wanted the story to hold up, and she would have wanted first and foremost for the film to be good. So I think to honor Carrie in the best way, to honor Carrie, make it a good film, make it a good story. If you need CG work to represent Princess Leia, then that's fine. I mean, if you look at the things that Carrie has said over the years, Carrie is not Princess Leia. And she's talked about that. So having a representation of Carrie as Princess Leia, you know, the more I think about it, I speculate, because I don't know. But I don't think that it would bother her all that much, because she's Carrie. And we're not seeing Carrie on the screen anyway. We're seeing someone play a character. We're seeing Princess Leia on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that it would be that upsetting to her if we were able to know what she thought of it. I don't know that it would upset her that much to have her likeness represented in CG. And again, it's already been done. And you didn't hear her getting up, you know, in the media and complaining about it then. And she's the type of she's the type of person that if she had a complaint, she would have voiced the complaint. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder, too, if let's say they go the CG route. What if they do it in a way where it's not completely prominent, that, you know, she is, that, you know, she's, that it's a fake actor or a computer generated right. actor in a room of real people. Maybe like a hologram or something. I mean, you can yeah. have.
Yeah. All her, she could phone in all of her scenes. All of her scenes could be holograms.
Yeah. I mean, if she really, if she needs another, if you want to have another meeting with Luke and Leia, you're probably not going to have one be done that well. You know, something on screen, especially if it has to be like an emotional thing. And I'm assuming that it doesn't happen in 8. So maybe you could have her call in on a hologram or something, and, you know, you can have her and Luke converse that way and then just have someone do her voice.
Right.
But it's, I mean, it's just tricky.
Yeah. You know, I was actually thinking along the same lines that, Chris, if they could, you know, have her death off screen and then she comes back as a Force ghost. I mean, we know she's Force sensitive. Ooh. It's her family. You know, that would, to me, would be less intrusive of CGI because it's already CGI. And it wouldn't take me out of the moment, I guess.
Well,
like she did at the end of Rogue One.
I actually kind of like that.
Yeah, see, I don't. Because it breaks the canon. See, to me, that kind of feels like what we were talking about that I don't want for them to come up with I hate to say a gimmick, but to me that would feel like kind of a gimmick. Oh, well, there have been Force ghosts before and we want to see Carrie Fisher again, so let's do it that way. To me, to be a Force ghost, you had to, you know, Qui-Gon got to the point where he was able to do it as a disembodied voice. And then so far, it was only Yoda, Obi-Wan, and Anakin who we know have ever done it. And at least two of those three studied it intently, and we don't really know much about what Vader did or didn't study. Though we do know that Vader had an interest in life after death. For me to have an untrained Force user who's not a Jedi to all of a sudden become elevated to that state of enlightenment, so to speak, it seems a little grasping at straws.
Yeah, we don't know what she did in the last 30 years. Maybe she was, you know, getting on training from Luke.
But what we do know about it, well, no, I mean, if you look at Bloodline, she didn't have a lot of contact with Luke. I mean, she was busy. She stayed occupied.
I know.
We have documentation of some of that. So I get where you guys are going with it. Lou, I think your hologram idea, and this was also listed in the chat room as well. Well,
that's Chris's idea.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to steal that because that was his.
Okay. I think that could work. You don't need to worry too much about the resolution. Holograms in Star Wars always suck anyway. Mm-hmm. That's part of the shtick. So I don't know. I think in the end they're going to have to do some CG work. They're going to have to probably minimize her involvement in Episode 9. And I hope for the sake of the story and the film that maybe they didn't plan on using her for a whole lot anyway.
See, but that's what I'm thinking. I mean, we're sitting here talking about it as if she's going to be the, you know, a starring role. But my guess is that she probably would have, honestly, less screen time than she did in TFA.
I don't know. I think that she didn't have a lot in TFA. And no, she's not going to be a lead character, but the moments that she's going to be involved in are going to be pivotal moments. So it's not about the quantity. It's more about the quality. Though with the CG, it is also somewhat about the quantity, because you don't want to overuse it, especially if it's not entirely working all that great. But the problem is, when you do use her, you're going to have to use her in very, very prominent scenes.
Yeah.
That's the catch.
And, you know, we did talk about this before that we really, you know, I think all of us said the same thing. We wanted this to be the trilogy about the new characters, not about the old characters. So, you know, you're right. Her parts will be pivotal, but this should be mostly about, you know, Rey and the new cast.
Right.
So maybe it won't impact the story all that much of her not being on screen.
I think the main way in which it's going to affect it, see, I predict they're going to have the reunion of Luke and Leia somewhere in episode 8. So I think in episode 9, the only thing it's really going to affect is going to be Kylo's storyline. And J.J. Abrams has stated before that with Kylo Ren, they wanted to introduce a villain who is growing as a villain. Because in a lot of films, you see a villain who's already fully villainized. I don't know how to put that, but it's like they've already come into their villainy, and as opposed to kind of growing into that. And though we saw that a little bit with Anakin in the prequels, we didn't really see, I mean, it was pretty quick. There wasn't a lot of development there and a whole lot of struggle. And you get it better with Stover's novel, fortunately. But so Abrams had talked about the fact that with Kylo Ren, we're going to get to see character development on the villain side as well as character development on the hero side. If that's the case, the implication is, especially after him killing his father in the first movie, that through the further confrontation, at some point there's going to be a conflict between him and his mother of some sort. So I would imagine that that would be the most important thing to happen in episode 9. If they find a way around that, then the only other thing is really the leadership of the resistance, which there's no reason that torch couldn't be passed too. But I think that that was something that they were building up in a more delicate way. So, I don't know. We do have reason to believe that they are meeting very, very soon about what to do going forward with this. That's another thing that's been rumored quite a bit. But I don't know. We'll find out when we find out, I guess. That we can sit here and speculate. We can give our opinions about what we would like to see happen. But at the end of the day, we're going to see what we see. And we'll go from there. Moving on. We do have a few other little news items. The Rogue One DVD and Blu-ray are rumored to be released in April. No big surprise there. The new Star Wars Rebels trailer is out. And there's, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it too much, but there's a further continuity of what happened with Darth Maul and Ezra, the little vision that they saw. There's further movement on that. The one thing that
that's not the thing I want to know about, though.
Well,
in Rebels.
Yeah. I'm so happy that we saw some Rebels in Rogue
One. There's one glaring omission so far from last season to this season.
Which is?
Ahsoka.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about her.
give me a tease about that. Let me know what's going on here. Come
the
on,
finale. She'll be the finale what
there,
character.
Every... What is there to tease, Lou? She's dead.
No, she's not dead.
I would say she's dead, but it's Filoni. I don't think Filoni's ready to kill her. If it were Joss Whedon,
Filoni, what?
If it were Joss Whedon, she'd be dead. Because she's a character, and he hates all his characters, and he kills them all. All right, there's one thing that, you know, we're running almost an hour, and in the interest of trying to keep our shows a little bit shorter moving forward, I think maybe we'll save this for next episode, but this thing about Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this in a nutshell. So the news is, the rumor is, that Woody Harrelson may be playing a role in the upcoming Han Solo film, specifically as Han Solo's mentor. So, quick, in a nutshell, thoughts.
My first thought when I read that was, Woody Harrelson? No, I don't see that at all. But then I thought about some of the stuff he's done later in his career, and I'm like, okay, maybe I could kind of see it. Because he is a very versatile actor.
Yeah.
I mean, my yeah. First blush reaction was, no. That's not the right person. But I think it could work. the more Chris? I thought about it.
My thoughts are that this is the second thing that I've ever thought about Woody Harrelson that I did not expect I would have to associate him with.
What was the first?
What was the first?
Well, the first one was that there is this in the UK, there is this every 2 years, there's this charity soccer match that they do between England and the rest of the world. And it's pretty much English celebrities plus former English soccer players. And then from celebrities from around the world plus former soccer players from around the world. And they all play each other in a match for, I think it's for UNICEF. And England always wins, except I think twice now that the rest of the world has won. But the first time that the rest of the world won, the game was tied after 90 minutes, so they had to go to penalty kicks. And Woody Harrelson was on the team, and it got to the point where it was Woody Harrelson's turn to kick for the rest of the world. And if he made the goal, then the rest of the world would win, and he did. So he won a soccer match.
Nice.
Or scored the game winner for a soccer match, which wow. I never thought I would ever associate him with.
Interesting.
This is the second thing, being involved in Star Wars, especially a mentor for Han Solo.
Wow.
Never thought I would say that. Although, like, when I first heard it, I was like, eh, why? And then, like Lou said, I kind of thought about it and I'm like, okay, it can work. He was the mentor in to an extent in Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was a mentor figure in Zombieland.
I just have a hard time seeing, like, Woody Harrelson's a character, or he's an actor rather, that I have a hard time not seeing him as his characters. Like, mm-hmm. as a real person, I see here Woody Harrelson, and I always see him as the characters he's played. It's like the opposite of the problem I have with most actors, where I see an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and I don't see the character, I see Arnold Schwarzenegger. Or Samuel Jackson. Like, they're in the Jedi Council, there's Yoda, and there's Yaddle, and there's Ki-Adi Mundi, and there's Samuel Jackson.
Right.
Not Mace Windu, Samuel Jackson. So it's like the opposite problem I have, and I keep forgetting that Woody Harrelson actually is not only a competent actor, but a very good one.
Oh, very much so. I have the same problem. I don't look at him and see him as a character. I immediately think of him as, you know, like what he was first known for. And it's like, no, that's not what he does anymore, you know?
Right. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about this. And we don't know who he's going to play either. Some people have speculated it's Thrakken Solo.
Yeah.
A relative of Han's. Another one that it might be, who is it? Shrike, I think, was the guy that actually got him into smuggling. These characters are based heavily on the Han Solo trilogy by A.C. Crispin.
Yep.
Which is a really good trilogy.
Mm.
But anyway, it's up in the air.
Yeah, I just, you know, I hear his name, I immediately think of Cheers. That's not who he is anymore. You know, he's done so many better things since then. And I bet he could pull off a good, you know, mentor. And the way I'm thinking of him as a mentor in my movie in my head right now is he's a, you know, not a very nice guy. He's going to be hard on Han Solo. He's going to be, you know, crafting Han to be the way he is. He's not going to be the warm, fatherly mentor. He's going to be the, you know, hey, trial by hard knocks guy.
Yeah, you know,
and I can see Woody pulling that off.
Ernie here in the chat was referring to Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's exactly what I was thinking. I could see him as a Yondu character.
Okay.
But I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll talk more about that in future episodes, but that's another thing we'd like to hear from you guys. Let us know what you think about the idea of having Woody Harrelson in the Han Solo film. I've got more things to say, but we'll talk about it some other time. So anything else before we wrap up here at Echo Base?
I think I'm good.
I'm good too.
All right. Well, we're sad that this had to be our first episode back, and we had to talk about some difficult stuff, but we are happy that the future of Star Wars is still moving forward, that it holds bright and beautiful things in its future, and the future continues to expand. And as fans, that makes us very happy, and we're also happy and appreciative for the years of enjoyment and joy, and the breadth of the joy that Carrie so graciously brought to us, not just in her portrayal of the character, but the way she treated the fans, her engagement at conventions. That affects people too. That has a direct effect on people's lives, and we'll always appreciate that about her as well. So send us your feedback. Send us an email here at echobase@randomchatter.com. We want to hear from you. Tell us about your own personal experiences that you had, either if you've ever met Carrie or just as a Star Wars fan in general. Let us know. And again, you know, we'd like to hear what you think about the Woody Harrelson rumor. But shoot us an email.
And while you are shooting us an email, you can also visit us on social media. We have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We have the EchoBase Twitter @EchoBasePodcast. The Random Chatter Twitter is @RandomChatter. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Eric, what is your Twitter?
It's @EricBlythe. That's ErikBlythe.
And Lou?
And mine is @LouSecki. That's LouSecki. And of course, you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. There's almost too many to mention nowadays. We're getting more and more shows out there. Of course, there's Random Chatter. There's Outer Rim. All the comic book shows. We have Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. We've been threatening to give you guys the new Crash Couch show, and that is coming up pretty soon. That should be out within, within a week, I would imagine.
The recording is coming in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, so, that's what I'm saying, it'll be out within a week.
Yeah.
So it'll be out there pretty soon. That'll be our show for The Expanse, which we are imminently looking forward to. I can't wait to do that show. The Retro Convo, Sabacc Table, Cordcast, and Ghost Stories are some of the shows to round out the network.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Do you guys know who Brian Brushwood is?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
You don't know who Brian Brushwood is, Chris?
No,
oh my God.
Scam School.
You got to watch Scam School.
Scam
yeah,
School. I was gonna say. And he's got a series on Netflix now, too. It's called Hacking the System. It's kind of Mythbusters meets Life Hacker. Very, very cool stuff. Brian Brushwood is awesome. Yeah. He follows the Outer Rim Twitter account now.
Nice.
Which is ironic because I don't know.
We got to have him on the show.
I don't know. I wanted to tweet and say, Brian, why are you following like the least interesting of any of our Twitter feeds? But then I didn't want to out it as a less interesting Twitter feed.
Yeah, thanks.
But I mean, really, well, I mean, most of the news related stuff, we tweet on Random Chatter, and the Star Wars stuff is on Echo Base. But Outer Rim, if we tweeted it there, it would be kind of the same as doing it on the Random Chatter feed. So it's almost more just like a placeholder feed. So I don't know.
I just turned my show into a placeholder show.
Yeah. Anyway, I've completely hijacked the closing now. And since I've hijacked it anyway, or tangentialized it, I should also point out that Joel in the chat room said we should mention Gary. So I don't think Gary is going to want for much in life. I imagine Gary is going to be well taken care of.
Who is custody?
Oh, the dog.
The dog, yes, Gary. You know,
see,
probably
I said Carrie and I was
no,
like,
Gary, I'm sorry.
Where have you been, Joel?
You know, we talk about it all night.
People have been asking about, you know, what's going to happen to Gary. I don't know. I imagine that Carrie's brother is probably going to take care of Gary or at least find a caregiver for Gary. I don't know, but I'm confident Gary is going to be fine. So, other than he's still not going to be able to fit his tongue back in his mouth, but you know, what can you do? Anyway, we would love it if you would help spread the word about Echo Base and any of the shows on the Random Chatter Network. Leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you're listening to us. We would love it if you would help get the word out. You know, retweeting the stuff that gets tweeted from the Twittering. Joel helps us out with the Twitter accounts, and without that, I don't know where we would be. But, you know, helping out, spread the word through that, too, that's a big help. Tell your friends about us. Word of mouth. You know, I know it's 2017 now, and the days of people using their mouths and their vocal cords to communicate verbally to one another in person, those days are going away. I know it's all texting and social networking now, but if you happen to get a chance to have a conversation with a friend, that'd be a good way to talk about us too. So just putting it out there.
You can also listen to our live shows. We will be doing Echo Base on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, that's not the case just because we're kind of getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
And Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern for Random Chatter and Outer Rim. You can find that at randomchatter.com/live. We've been doing this on Ustream, but that might be changing soon, right, Eric?
Yes. We will probably be moving over to Twitch. Twitch now has a section for talk shows. And the capabilities that Twitch offers streamers are seem to be far superior than Ustream. And I know a lot of people will be happy about the fact that they don't inject ads into the middle of the stream. You have a pre-roll ad and that's it. So that should be a big help. Of course, that also means we're going to have to start doing video. That was met with silence. But that's okay. Yeah, we're probably going to be moving over to Twitch, but it will still be randomchatter.com/live where you go to plug into that. So at the very least, if we can't restream it from there via a plugin, we're at least going to have a link directly into Twitch. So look for that very, very soon. Like the next time we stream live, probably. For our Patreon supporters, we are very, very grateful to all of you. Head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. We've got some new perks that we are releasing. We've got the video shows coming up. We have The Vault, which we've been talking about. It's the archive of all of the really, really, really old, ancient Random Chatter shows, going back to 2005. And Lost Chatter, and Dead Chatter, and Stereo Chatter, and App Chatter, and Tech Chatter, and Movie Survival Guide, and Real Quick Reviews. Oh, and also the very, very first Star Wars podcast for the Force.net. Yes, we will be releasing
those. Oh, I can't
those.
Wait till people hear those.
I can. And when you listen,
as someone who's
do not
heard
say
them before,
anything to me.
I really can't wait.
I haven't listened to them since probably 2007, and I'm scared to. I'm petrified. I don't want to listen to them. They're going to be so bad. But we are posting them. We are going to have them available to everybody. So don't worry about that too much. But if you are a Patreon donor of any level, even just a dollar, then we are going to be making those available to you in advance. And we will be highlighting some of our favorite episodes and posting them there. So tune in for more information there. Patreon.com/randomchatter. And and we've got new intro music as of this episode too. That's a really cool rendition of the Imperial March at the beginning of this episode that was done by Celldweller, aka Clayton. So head over to, I keep wanting to say Crash Couch, head over to the Cordcast. We have two podcasts with CC in the title now. Head over to Cordcast. I think it was at episode 6, Chris?
Honestly, I don't remember.
I think it was the 6th episode we interviewed Clayton from Cell Dweller.
It was either 5 or 6, one of those.
So you can get this on in iTunes. This is the instrumental version of it. So that's it. That's it for this episode of Echo Base. Thank you for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Between more Rogue One and a lot of news coming up, and then Episode 8, this is going to be a big year for Star Wars. Celebration sold out of their 4-day passes in a third of the time that Celebration Anaheim did. It's going to be a big year for Star Wars. So stick with us. We'll stick with you. We'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.
The Force will be with you always.